We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
The Indiana Pacers.
It's 8 seconds, 7 seconds. Oladipo to win it.
Another one!
He got it!
Another one!
Oladipo! Nesterovich. Nice pass to Daniels.
Oh,
tipped
get
up.
Get in there!
He got it!
Yes!
He
yes.
got it!
Yes!
Troy
yes!
Murphy tipped it in at the buzzer, and the Pacers have won.
Granger catches, shoots for three to win it. He hits it. Danny Granger at the buzzer hits a three-point shot, and the Indiana Pacers have won the game here in Phoenix.
Oh, we have some smothered chicken on that one. Smothered chicken.
Shot clock winding down. They turn it over. Oladipo kicks it. Back out. Bogdanovich for three.
What is going on, everybody? Episode numero doce. All right, I got to ask you, Facci, who is your favorite number 12 in Pacers history?
Oof, that's a tough one. I don't know. For some reason, Travis Diener is the first one who came to mind. I really don't know why.
Travis Diener, why?
I have no idea. It was a dark time for the Pacers when he was logging some solid minutes for us. But, yeah, for some reason, his face just showed up right away. What about you, Alex? Who's number 12 in your mind for us?
Well, our current number 12 is Tyreke Evans, and I would be, I think I would be killed by most Pacer fans if I said that was my favorite number 12. But off the top of my head, I think I got to go with the former backup point guard as well, A.J. Price.
Okay, all right. I did like some A.J. Price, if you didn't blow out that knee. Maybe it really could have been something for us. But interesting choices by the both of us.
Yeah, for sure. I got to be honest with you, though, man. I was looking at our numbers, and we get a lot of downloads and a lot of listens throughout the week. But one thing we are not getting on iTunes is rating and reviews. So if you guys are a fan of this show or you guys are not a fan of the show, let us know. Give us a rating and review. I mean, I'd rather have bad reviews so we can figure out what you guys want to hear from us so we can get better. I think criticism is a good thing, especially if it's constructive. I mean, you're going to have the people that are just haters because that's what they like to do, trolling at its finest. But, I mean, Facci, we got to get people getting us some rating and reviews. I know that's a lot to ask, but I'm just saying, we got to get that up.
I couldn't agree more. And guys, come on, we want to hear from you, because if you're going to spend the time to listen, why not make the show better and kind of get what you want out of the show? We're always open to taking questions, and we're definitely open to taking pointers. So feel free to write a review, and we'll make the improvements.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will. So I'm actually going to go. Did you know we had I think it's 16 players that wore the number 12 throughout Pacers history.
Interesting. I do now.
So, yeah, some interesting ones that we didn't mention that I think people on this podcast might be familiar with. Kevin Ollie back in the day, 2002. Michael Curry in 2005. I think he was part of that that Pistons brawl team. Evan Turner. Let's not talk about that.
Let's forget about that.
And then most recently last year, Damian Wilkins.
Yeah. The trusty vet. Great locker room guy. And I thought it was a class act to kind of bring him back, let him play one more game. Or let him play his last game as a Pacers getting extended minutes. That was a nice touch by us.
Yeah, no, Damian Wilkins is an awesome guy. So we've done enough preliminary stuff for this episode. Let's jump into this Pacers winning streak. 7 games in a row, going for game number 8 tonight against the Cleveland Cavaliers. It's around 6:20 right now, and we're recording this on Tuesday night. So they got the Cavaliers here in about 45 minutes. Man, 8 games in a row. What did we say last week? Why not go for 8, right?
Exactly. I mean, when I'm thinking of this streak, it kind of makes me want to dance a little bit. The only song I can think of is hot, 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 dun, dun, because we're going streaking right now. 7 straight for the boys.
Okay, let's just act like that didn't happen. thank God you guys didn't get to see that on video. but I think tonight, you know, Cavaliers are in town. They're not a great team. They're 7-23. Half their roster's injured. That's actually, you know, talent. That their talented players are injured outside of Colin Sexton. But tomorrow night is the biggest test. The Toronto Raptors in Toronto, the number one team in the Eastern Conference. But those Pacers, man, second place right now. Second place in the Eastern Conference. Where's everybody talking about us at? I don't see anybody talking about us.
I still see Boston above us in the power rankings that ESPN's putting out, and it rubs me wrong every single time. Because we got a better record than them. We're playing better defense than them. We're even hotter than them right now. It's 7 straight. Before, they were talking about, well, Boston's on a run right now. We've won 8 of 10. I mean, Come on. I want a little bit more praise for this Pacers team, and I guess we're going to have to go out and earn it. And while I don't want to overlook the Cavs, but I feel very confident, I think we're going to get that respect by beating Toronto, the team with the best record in the NBA, who were just 2 games behind. So it's not far-fetched by any means.
Yeah, now let me ask you this, Fauci. How many games have the Pacers lost in December?
I believe, did they lose December 1st? I think it was. I want to say that Kings game might have unfortunately been December 1st, but if not, we're hot right now.
Yeah, that was the only game, December 1st, Sacramento Kings. Looking at the rest of the schedule, we got at the Raptors tomorrow night. I think that's the biggest test. Then we go to Brooklyn, who's been playing pretty well right now, on the road Friday night. Then you come home, play the Wizards. You're at the Hawks the day after Christmas. December 28th, you're home versus the Pistons, and then to end the new year, you're with the Hawks at home again. Call me crazy, but we might end up with only 2 losses in December.
I completely agree, and having gotten one of those out of the way and that unfortunate 1-point loss to the Kings, I mean, if we can take down Toronto, we can go on a serious streak right now. This is the longest winning streak the Pacers have had since they started 9-0 in the strike-shortened season a few years ago. I believe it was 2011, 2012, or 2012, 2013. But either way, it's been about 5 years, and it's just a total team effort.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's we're playing team basketball right now. The ball movement has been great. It just seems that we've talked about it time after time, how rough it was when Oladipo was out. But, I mean, now that he's back, we're clicking on all cylinders.
Oh, for sure. And, I mean, we were playing well without him. That's the beautiful thing about this team, something we couldn't say last year. And I'm sure if you've listened to any Pacers podcast, everybody's talking about that, and rightfully so. I mean, this team was atrocious last year without Victor Oladipo. So now that they got him back in the lineup, their team's only going to get better. Now, let me ask you this. Outside of that Raptors game, I'm pretty sure we're both kind of 50-50 on if we're going to win that one or not. We're playing at a high volume right now, we're playing great basketball. But outside of the Raptors, do you think we get another loss? Any other teams make you nervous?
You know, they really don't. Obviously, Detroit is they're not as much of a cake team as, say, Chicago or Atlanta. But, I mean, Washington still doesn't have their stuff together. Cleveland, I mean, come on. You know, the Hawks, we know what's going on there. It's a complete rebuild. And Chicago, I mean, they're coming apart at the seams. Left, they don't even want to practice anymore. So, no, I'm not worried about them. And, you know, even that takes us – that game's January 4th. So why not go on a massive run and really catch the attention of everybody in the NBA? Because, you know, I'd be lying if I'm saying when I'm at the table at lunch at work and I'm talking up the Pacers, everybody keeps saying, oh, yeah, Golden State's just sleeping. Hey, right now we have a better record than Golden State, and no one even knows it other than Pacer fans, and it does rub me wrong.
Well, if we do run the table this rest of the month, that'll put us, I think, if you go into that first game in January against the Bulls, I think that's like a 15 or 16 game winning streak. That would be unreal. And if the Pacers want to get some recognition, that definitely would be the start of it. And right now, I know this wasn't on our agenda, but I think we need to really start considering Nate McMillan for Coach of the Year.
I think he's done an amazing job. I mean, the extension before is well-deserved. Really has this team. It's just that team that they'll show stats that all the teams and their records and being above the salary cap, we still have money to spend. And next year, oh my God, there's a ton of money to spend. He's done a great job working with what he's had. And when you think of how many players we've replaced over the last few years, it's even more impressive. I mean, yeah. It's almost a completely new team from the Paul George era, which was just 2 years ago.
No, you're exactly right. And this team, man, I mean, you add in a guy like Tyreek Evans, you bring in a guy like Doug McDermott, and then Kyle O'Quinn. I cannot express to you how pivotal Kyle O'Quinn is going to become playoff time, because we saw Friday night, Joel Embiid is a monster. And no offense to Miles Turner, he's been playing great, but he is not big enough to defend Joel Embiid in the post. That's nothing against him. I think that we should see Turner try to take advantage of Embiid's sloppy on-ball defense. I think Embiid's a great rim protector, similar how I feel about Miles Turner. But when it comes to moving his feet and attacking him in the pick and roll, Thaddeus Young, you saw it in that game, just completely over and over and over again, was just too quick for Embiid to get to. So I think that's one thing that the Pacers and Miles Turner have to work on against Embiid. But, I mean, thank God we have Kyle O'Quinn and Domas Sabonis off the bench to back up Miles Turner, because if you even looked at Embiid wrong in the post, oh, they're blowing a whistle that first half. It was unbelievable. 7 fouls on our centers in the first half, and what did he end up having in that first half? Like 30 points and 15 rebounds? That's ridiculous. Yeah.
It was insane. It really hurt to watch, because he was getting everything he wanted. I mean, ended the game with 40 and 20. I mean, he was just feasting on Miles. And Miles Turner, you know, he's been so great. He was just overmatched by Embiid. I think the frustration was a bit evident when he flipped off the crowd. And, you know, and just, it wasn't looking Miles. Good at times. Yeah.
Wearing the exactly. Cowboys jersey. Wasn't a good little stretch there for Turner.
He did catch some heat for that.
Who cares? You know, that's exactly. His team. I don't care. I mean, you like the Broncos. How are they doing?
not good. Let's just say I'm not wearing the jersey around town, okay? Jeez. But I do – one thing I've always respected, it's loyalty. And yeah. And that's where Miles Turner is from. So I appreciate him showing loyalty in the Cowboys, showing loyalty in the Pacers, signing the extension. So, hey, we can't knock the guy too much, especially when he's performing.
Yes, sir. And, like, we give Miles a hard time for that game against the 76ers, but comes back against the Knicks, has a pretty solid game. And, you know, here's my only concern that I'm going to say to you, Fauci. Mm-hmm. I want to see Miles Turner have the game he had against the Knicks, the game he had the other night. I believe it was against, was it Washington? Yeah, the Washington game where he really played well. I want to see him have those games against playoff caliber teams. You're talking about Philadelphia. You're talking about Toronto Wednesday. Boston coming up here in January. You know, these teams that are the upper echelon teams of the Eastern Conference. Now, I know we had a good game against the Milwaukee Bucks at home, but I just think that's because Thad Young shut down Giannis Antetokounmpo. But my biggest thing is, no, I'm not picking on Miles, but I want to see him, you know, translate those big games against the lesser teams of the East and the West into, you know, playoff caliber teams to show that he really belongs. Because I think that that's going to get something that's going to be brought up more and more if he struggles against those upper echelon teams.
You're completely right. I mean, the foul trouble likely dictated part of the game against the 76ers. He only ended up with 8-5, a far cry from what he's been doing lately, because ever since he's become Ponytail Miles, what they're calling him, he has been balling out. Scored at least 23 points in 3 of the last 4 games, the Sixers game being the exception. And in the month of December, I mean, he's upped his numbers, 16.5 points, 9 rebounds, 3 blocks a game. But what I'm loving seeing is the 50% shooting from the field, over 52% from 3. This is the guy that I remember hitting the 3-pointers. November was such a strange month, he just wasn't even shooting them. Yeah. But you're completely right. And Toronto's got no Valanciunas. He's going to be out for a few more weeks. I think it's a good opportunity for him, and I want to see that game against the top of the East, the top of the league, the Toronto Raptors. That's when we're really going to know that, hey, this is a team that if we're going to get out of the first round, they're going to be awaiting us.
Yeah.
It's a true test. We've passed other tests lately in the Bucks game and the Sixers, two teams that we may easily see in potentially the first round. It could be a 4-5 matchup. You imagine Boston's going to get it going. So it was great to finally fire back and get those teams. We talked about it before, how there really, unfortunately, wasn't any true quality wins up until basically last week.
Yeah, and that was what we wanted to see. In that 8-game winning streak, you know, we were a little bit nervous about predicting the Pacers winning streak would continue with Giannis and the Hot Bucks coming into Bankers Live, then going to Philadelphia. I'll just say this right now, for all these listeners, I'm sure a lot of them are Colts fans. I would say the Indiana Pacers are to the Philadelphia 76ers what T.Y. Hilton is to the Houston Texans. We have completely dominated in Wells Fargo Arena in Philadelphia. And, you know, it's kind of funny because I know we don't get a lot of credit national media-wise, but I did catch it on the end of the Hoop Collective podcast with Brian Windhorst today. They did bring up the Indiana Pacers at the end of their show. They were talking about the Bucks and the 76ers. And what they basically said was, you know, we're not really talking about the Pacers right now, but they're better than both those teams record-wise, and they just beat them both. And quite frankly, Philadelphia doesn't have enough depth to really be considered a serious championship contender. And they said that they might not even have enough talent to get past the Pacers in the first round if that was a 4-5 matchup. So what are your thoughts on that?
I love hearing that. I pretty much whenever I hear the Pacers brought up, it is kind of in that kind of sequence where they squeeze them in saying, oh, and don't forget about the Indiana Pacers. Like, it's almost like they're running out of time and they just want to bring us up. But it's true. Philly, I think they're going to try and move Fultz as kind of a panic move to say, look, we're going all in and we're going to need depth. They definitely lost some depth when they traded Saric and Covington, and it is showing, especially with Jimmy Butler missing time. But it was a great quality win on their home floor. They had been the top. They had the top home record coming into that game. I believe they were 14-2. So it was awesome to see us get a great win on the road. And we've actually been one of the more battle-tested teams on the road, which has been pretty awesome to see. I believe it's we're 9-6 on the road, which is second best in the league behind just the Raptors. And they've actually played, I believe it's 2 more road games than us. So it's awesome to see it. You know, we'd always typically been a team great at home, a little about 500 or less on the road. And I think all of this is changing to be just a well-rounded team. And obviously, I can't say it enough, the defense has been unbelievable. I mean, it's becoming a challenge to even crack 100 against us. And if you're cracking 100, you're only getting 101.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, no, the defense, I mean, the Pacers are a little bit old school. And they're hanging their hat on their defense. And that is exactly what is going to get this team to a top 3 seed in the Eastern Conference. They can't try to pretend that they're somebody they're not. No, they don't have a lot of high-volume shooters. Yes, they went out and got a Doug McDermott. But he's not putting up enough 3-point attempts to be a high-volume shooter. Bojan Bogdanović leads the NBA in 3-point field goal percentage. You know why? Because he doesn't just jack up shots and he takes high percentage shots. And, you know, if Bojan keeps playing the way Bojan's playing, I mean, it's going to be hard to turn the other cheek and not re-sign him next year. I mean, he has been absolutely fantastic for this team.
He really has. I mean, he's just so consistent. I mean, right now, he scored in double figures 21 straight games. In that over that stretch of 21 games, he's averaging over 18 points per game, shooting over 52% from the field. He's been everything. He's been way more than we could have asked for. Yeah. When we signed Bogdanović, there is no way that I thought that he would be this good for this team. It's been amazing, and I mentioned before that we're going to have a lot of cap room this offseason, we have to start to strongly consider if, you know, chances are we're not going to be able to land an A-list star. Bogdanović is someone that we're going to have to consider bringing back, and hopefully we get a discount at it.
Yeah, you got to wonder if J.J. Redick's wishing that he would have signed with the Pacers instead of the Sixers now, huh?
I think so.
Just imagine this for next year. The Pacers have all that cap space. They go out and get J.J. Redick off the bench. They bring Bojan back, and they have Doug McDermott. Imagine a lineup out there at some point with Doug, J.J., and Bojan spreading the floor with Sabonis and either Oladipo, Corey Joseph, one of those guys. That would be a fun lineup. I mean, we would have so much space on the floor to move. I know that, and J.J. Redick even said he'd come off the bench, which is a beautiful thing. That was going to be his role on the Pacers, was coming off the bench. And they already had, you know, agreed to McDermott, too. So they're not afraid to go out and get, you know, two shooters. And I know they're a little bit criticized for their defense, but I think Bojan's been a solid defender since he's came here. I mean, even McDermott's playing pretty solid defense. I think that is a little bit overrated. And with the Pacers system, their scheme, and Dan Burke running things, I think we can make below-average defenders, respectable.
There's something in the water out in Indy right now where it's contagious. Everyone's playing defense. Aside from leading the league in points per game, opposing points per game, I noticed the Pacers are second in the league in fewest fouls per game. Wow. Also top five in steals per game. So we're getting the steals without getting the fouls, and it's just so underrated. I mean, it's something that you're never really going to notice. It's not going to pop off the box score, but it's really important, and we're doing all the little things to get it done.
Well, it's a good thing we don't play James Harden and Chris Paul four times a year, because I think our foul numbers would be way up.
Completely agree, especially when Harden's taken anywhere from 3 to 6 steps behind the three-point line in one motion. It's crazy.
Yeah, the NBA officials did come out and say they missed that one. Shocker, right? First time they'll admit that one. But, all right, well, we're about 20 minutes in, and I hate to say it, but we have not given praise yet to Thaddeus Young for winning Eastern Conference Player of the Week. What a complete, like, what an awesome honor for a guy that doesn't get enough credit. I mean, that guy's been named Eastern Conference Player of the Week twice in his career. And I guarantee you he's been deserving of that way more than twice.
100%. It's amazing to see the recognition from the NBA, because if you had been able to watch the Bucks game, for those who haven't watched, what he did to Giannis was unbelievable. I mean, he held a guy who was averaging about 26 points per game to 12. I think he had maybe one shot at halftime. I mean, he was playing smothering defense that Greek Freak wasn't even able to get off shots. And just in the month of December, he's really stepped up his numbers, averaging over 16 and 8, the field goal percentage over 55%. I mean, it's the defense. He's always kind of had that quiet play where he never needed to be a first or second option. But, like, the image in my head is that famous Undertaker meme that they have on Twitter where he just rises up, and next thing you know, in the month of December, he's been on fire. Yeah. He had three straight double-doubles, back-to-back 25 and 10 games. It's been amazing to see, because it's just like I keep saying it. It's like hot potato every single night. It seems to be someone else's night, which just makes us one of the deepest teams in the league. You can't just worry about just one guy anymore.
Well, watch out, Jermaine O'Neal. I think Mike Focci might be coming the new president of the Thaddeus Young fan club.
Ooh, I don't know. It's going to be tough, but Thad, you're off to a good start.
Well, I mean, and the thing with Thad Young is it's not just necessarily that he's playing great defense on great players. It's just a little things. I mean, how many extra possessions has he created for the Pacers by fighting for offensive rebounds? The one that still sticks out to me was that Knicks game on ESPN, like our first Wednesday night ESPN game, when he got that offensive rebound off Bojan's air ball and he found Oladipo in the corner for the game, the game winning three. I mean, that's just the kind of plays you need, and that's nothing, that's no like knock on anybody else, but I mean, Thad is just the glue guy, and he does the little things that you need to win big games. And I would love to have Thad retire a Pacer, to be honest with you. I know a lot of people are like, we need to upgrade the power forward position. But honestly, I mean, if he goes somewhere else and he goes to a contender, you're going to see why that team elevates their play, because he's just a perfect guy that doesn't need attention, and he just goes out there and balls every single night. So I just want to give him a little bit of praise. And did you have any other comments on that before we close this out with some other talk?
No more comments on the Thad, but just I noticed that, you know, it was evident that Tyreek Evans didn't play last game, might not play tonight against the Cavs. They're saying it's a bruised knee and they're resting him, but I think in my mind, with a softer schedule coming up, I think we might want to give him an extended rest. I was taking a look into it, and I did the math. Out of all players in the NBA who have at least 100 shots this year, Tyreek Evans ranks 273rd in the league in shooting percentage at just over 36%.
Ew.
It's terrifying.
What do you think that's? Why do you think he's been shooting so bad?
I think he's just maybe not comfortable. He's just kind of being used a little bit differently. He's trying to force some things, and it's not working. I think that maybe it's a little bit more than a knee bruise. Maybe it's something that we should give him an extended rest, and hopefully we can get him more healthy and feeling more comfortable. Because we're going to need him down the stretch. Right now, we're lucky that he has not been anywhere near what we thought, and we're still performing. But at some point, we're going to need him to be Tyreek Evans, because when we signed him, everybody was ecstatic about it.
Well, maybe this is Tyreek Evans in Indiana. Maybe we are seeing what Tyreek Evans really is, because he hasn't really been on a team that's competing for the number two seed in their conference. He's not been on a defensive-minded team outside of Memphis when he was there last year. But what were they doing? They were tanking. So, long story short, I mean, maybe this is just the Tyreek Evans that we all knew he was. We just hoped he was going to be what he was in Memphis. I mean, that's just me. I don't know. He looks like he fits okay, but he doesn't look like he's the permanent fit for this backup six-man role, I guess you could say, or even seventh-man role. I mean, I haven't been the biggest fan of his, and we heard it on Saturday during the Woj and Low show. We actually saw it in Windhorst's article as well, that a lot of executives were wondering and speculating that the Pacers might be willing to give up one of their point guards, Corey Joseph and or Darren Collison, because they really like the promise they have in Aaron Holiday in the backcourt. But, you know, I don't know if I'm touching this right now, Fauci. It's kind of a hard decision, because you know these guys aren't long-term players, but you don't want to mess up chemistry right now, right?
Yeah, I was honestly about, if you weren't going to bring it up, I was going to bring it up, because when I saw Woj come out with those comments, I started thinking, man, you don't want to see those guys walk and us not get something, because they're very valuable, but they're also extremely valuable to this team. I mean, right now, do you want to fix what isn't broken? I think maybe we revisit this maybe in February or around the All-Star break, because for right now, we're playing really good basketball. I mean, we saw Collison step up when Oladipo wasn't there, and our depth is something that I love. It was obvious once Oladipo came back that Aaron Holiday didn't play in two games. It took Tyreek Evans being out last game against the Knicks for Holiday to get some minutes, and it's going to be tough, because Aaron Holiday did show some things, and until we move one of those guys, or maybe even next year when they're gone, it's going to be hard for Holiday to get minutes in this lineup.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true. If you've been paying attention to me at all, my fallback guy, I think he's better than Corey Joseph and Darren Collison, is Patrick Beverley. Just like his defense, I think him and Oladipo in the backcourt would be incredible. And I would really like to bring Corey Joseph back next year. As much as Darren Collison has been good for this team, I just think he's getting at that point in his career where it's time to move on from him. Not right now necessarily, but maybe in the off season, unless you can, you know, unless you feel like running it back once again on another, you know, short-term deal. But I think that we should ride it out And if we start to fall a little bit, come January, come February, when that schedule gets a little bit tougher, and there's a deal out there, maybe a team's desperate to get a backup point guard or some type of help. I mean, you know New Orleans is going to be looking for a point guard. And if there's somebody there you really like that can be a part of our team, and they're willing to give up somebody worth an asset, you know, some assets they're worth, like whether it be Etwan Moore or something like that for Darren Collison, you know, you just got to sit there and think about it. So, I don't know, man. I'm excited to see what happens, but I think right now if they make any move with our core rotation guys, I think that Tyreek Evans is the first man out.
I was just thinking the same thing. Honestly, he's only on that one-year deal, and I believe it was about $12 million. It's a contract that could be pretty favorable to move.
Yeah.
So I think that the Pacers are going to still, you know, roll the dice and play it out with what they got. Hopefully Tyreek Evans can get it going, but if we are going to trade someone and he's not going to improve, then Tyreek Evans might be the guy who's out the door, as Collison and Corey Joseph just kind of fit this team a little bit better.
Yep. All right, Fauci, well, that wraps it up for this week's episode of Setting the Pace. Once again, please give us a rating and a review. It means so much to us to know that you guys are supporting us. And let us know what you guys think of the show, things we can improve on. Once again, no Tyler Smith. The man has been coaching basketball like crazy, so I'm sure iPacers blog is actually at the game tonight, covering it for him. And undefeated still with iPacers blog filling in for our man Tyler Smith with Indy Sports Legends. So we miss you, Tyler. Can't wait to have you back on the show. And, you know, I guess I got to say this, Fauci. We might not be here next week because next Tuesday is Christmas. So Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Thank you very much. The same to you and yours.
Thank you. I mean, I hope you guys have a great time. Hope you get whatever you want. And if you guys are hearing this buzz in the background, we're getting Fauci a new mic for Christmas.
I am so excited.
So hopefully the feedback's not too bad. Yeah, so that's what you're wondering what's going on. That was the noise. There's just a little bit of feedback with that mic, but we're going to get it fixed. We're figuring out some things with our technicalities here with sound, and I'm not the best at that. But anyway, Pacers got to keep this winning streak going, and we will talk to y'all maybe next Thursday. Does that sound good? Next Thursday?
Sounds good to me.
All right, well, let's plan on that. Maybe next Thursday might work. Maybe it won't. If it doesn't, we'll figure out a day, though. So, all right, everybody, thanks so much for checking out Setting the Pace. Follow us on Twitter at SettingThePace3, and you can always listen to our podcast on iTunes and at upandunder.net/setting-the-pace.html. All right, we'll talk to you later. Peace out.
Merry Christmas.